welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this April 12th day, 2020. We're going to take a look at this very, very difficult word, especially in our culture and in our society today. Generous. What does it mean to be generous? It is probably one of the most threatening words in the English language. I can't think of one that turns people off more than the idea of being generous. I hear people say they can be comfortably generous or socially generous to a certain degree, but generous, I don't think so. So we're going to be talking about that because, believe it or not, I have been getting questions regarding this whole subject of generosity, and I, especially during this time now that we're in with the virus and everything. If you're not generous enough to be a sponsor, I hope that you will eventually become generous enough to do that. We need your support, like everyone needs your support. And you're thinking, you know, what good does this radio program? You'd be surprised what good this radio program does. And I'm not going to get into, you know, the whole idea of us are better than them. We serve hundreds of people who listen to this program, who find insight, solace, and support for what is going on in their own life, especially now. So it is important for you to be generous with us so we can sustain this radio program and all the things we offer. People are sitting back mindlessly, foolishly, filling their minds up with fear and hate right now, watching TV programs that are mindless and silly, that have absolutely nothing to do with the complexities and the gravitas of our own life, of our lives now, compared to what they were a year ago. You're finding deep changes in people that are finding it hard to deal with their loneliness and their fears. Aspire serves the purpose of giving insight to all of that. It's at times can be very comforting, at other times very challenging. That's the way it should be. If you read the teachings of Lao Tzu, the Buddha, even Jesus, you will see they did the very same thing. At times it's comforting, at other times it can be very challenging. We are facing ourselves right now more than ever before as people and as a nation. We are facing the quality of our mind, the way we used our mind, the way we think. And all of this does Aspire offer to the world, to those who have ears to hear. And you may say, well, you know, it's not going to put food on the table and everything. Well, it's going to change, and it could change a person's life enough to be able to put food on the table, to see the bigger picture. So it is something that each of us has to consider, what really helps a person, teaching them how to fish or just giving them a fish. Right now we need both, and most people just want the fish. They don't want to learn how to fish, and Aspire teaches how to fish. You'll get your fish, don't worry about it, but then this whole thing is going to start all over again in another way, and you're going to have to hopefully be appreciative of those of us that have tried to help you learn how to fish, as it were. It's very hard for the average American to think about pedestrian mentality. We are, all of us, including me. Let's take a look at generosity. What does the word generous mean? Showing a readiness to give more of something as money or time than strictly the necessity that is expected. Excuse me. So there you are. It is about a certain unconscionable kindness. That's how I would define generosity. And if we ever needed it, oh baby, we need it now. So let's take a look at our questions. The first one comes from Trey. I don't know Trey. I want you to understand this. I don't know. I don't know the man, but I want you to know that I don't know him. And here's what he says. You are a generous person. I have seen this in you many times. A year ago, you did something beyond my abilities to be generous. How do you do it, Trey? I don't know what I did, and I don't know what you saw, and I have no idea what you're talking about. But the reason I chose your email was because there are a lot of people listening who have done many wonderful things in this crisis and have been extremely brave and courageous, in my opinion. Very brave and courageous. And I'm not the only one, and I think you will find in the hearts of those of us, whatever you think I did that was generous, in the hearts of those who do things that you deem generous, there is a living spirit, and this spirit is called the soul. And these people have a sense of a soul that is beyond the pedestrian mentality of just trying to get by and live life according to the ideas and ideals of fear and hate and anger. Now, in my particular way, you want to know how do I do it. And I want you to know, I belong to a fraternity of people, spiritually speaking, who see the bigger picture, who understand that it isn't what we do that looks appropriate. It's how we do it from our own heart. It is about a relationship with the heart, Trey. That's all it is. Do I have a relationship with my heart? Do I have a relationship with the goodness of my nature? Do I have that kind of relationship? Now, if I do have that relationship, then anything I do will be simple and beautiful and wonderful. You have to respond not from the emotionality. If I respond from my emotions, I become vain and bitter and narcissistic and pedestrian in my thinking. And Greg can do any of that and all of that at any given moment. He would love to go do that. But I don't follow his darkness. I don't follow his pedigree. I don't follow his genetic impulses. I just don't do it. I know what they are. They're very, very easy to detect. It's all about me, me, me. And if you can get over the me in you, then you will find yourself living in an unconscionable generosity that doesn't make a bit of sense to the ego, to the pride, to the vanity of a person. And you will find yourself struggling. If you don't, you will struggle with your life. If you allow your life to, so to speak, take on the temperament of loving kindness and compassion and put aside whatever it is you think is right and wrong or good or bad, put it aside, then something of the other shore will start to pop up. I cannot tell you how blessed I am based on the person that I intrinsically am, genetically speaking. I come from parents that were no big deal. They were middle class, mundane thinkers, pedestrian mentality kind of people. I saw my genetics mirroring them many, many times in the course of my lifetime. And I noticed that whenever I dipped into those frames of mind, that frame of thinking, I made it very difficult on myself. I go to India, I start to see how people live outside of their genetics. I start to understand how they live outside those genetics. I started to become aware of not listening to that voice that is saying to me, do this, do that, or the urge to do something that is very self-aggrandizing, anything. I learned how to do it. It took years and years of failing and practicing and failing and practicing. It did. But eventually, as time went on, as I went on, I really realized the bigger picture of it all. Once I got it, Everything that was difficult for me dropped away. Everything that was ugly dropped away. And I was left with this time I'm with you in right now, Trey. It's a practice. It's a process. You don't follow your inclinations, your genetic inclinations. You don't follow your human will. You don't allow that to happen. You don't live from instinct. You live from intuition, which is different from instinct. Human instinct is searching for danger through the DNA, but intuition comes from meditation. It comes from that beautiful gap, that pause, that space between our thoughts, where the existence of love truly abides, where true, true insight lives. Now, with all that being said, you can do this. It is a practice. You have to slow down your living, slow down what you want, slow down what you believe in. Watch your mind. You have to develop a third person. It must be totally developed where you are looking at your thoughts without criticism. You are looking at them very, very insightfully, but not critically. You are not looking for what is wrong. You are just watching. That is how you develop the witness. You just watch without the need to criticize or even change. You just watch. It's like saying, you know, I don't need a hammer for this job I'm about to do. I need a screwdriver. So you understand the difference between a hammer and a screwdriver. And when you understand that, then you understand generosity will start to overflow. You will start doing things that are beyond your human capacity. And I don't know what you saw or what you see in me. I don't know what I did. I wish I could help you more there, but please understand, I appreciate your email. I get very, very few emails that are like that with any sense of appreciation, and your email was very touching to me. Thank you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question. This comes from Raymond. He does not tell me where he lives. How generous can a person be without going to the point of giving up the farm? Raymond. Now, the term giving up the farm means giving everything you have away. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday with Chayono. And I hope you listened to yesterday's broadcast. We're at a time where if a person does not have a sense of intuition, they're in trouble. They're in deep, deep doo-doo. You need to have intuition. To have intuition, again, like I said to Trey, you need third person. When you have a sense of intuition, you know what a person needs and what they truly need. And you are never asked to give up the farm. Now, I have helped a lot of people in the course of my lifetime. And at times it looked like I was going to give up the farm. And I was totally willing to give up the farm. I really was. Now, that didn't have anything to do with money. This giving up the farm could be the ego. Giving up a human value that you think you have to have that is absolutely essential to your social survival, that kind of thing. Your status among people, changing what people think of you. Why, if I did this, what would people think kind of deal. I've always been willing to give that up since the first day of my career because I truly realized that in the beginning, the whole thing, yeah, people aren't worth that. The majority of people you will meet in your day are takers. They're not lovers. They're not interested in love. They're interested in being loved. But every so often, Raymond, you're going to find in the path of your life someone who will come in and move you deeply. Someone who is maybe socially insignificant. Someone that most people would just look at and just pass by, not even think about. someone who would seem unimportant. And it would seem inappropriate to our common sense, or our, I should say, my pedestrian mentality sense, to give them anything. But when you are there and you see who they are and what they need, if you're an authentic person, you will give it to them. Let me give you an example. Most people need patience. We need to be patient with each other. That is one of the most generous things you can be. To be patient with people, you have to listen to people, not just to what they're saying, but to what they're alluding to when they talk to you. It isn't necessarily what they're saying that is important. It's the lilt in their voice, the impression that you are getting, listening to them from another shore, hearing what they are intending to say but maybe can't say. To listen to their intent. When you hear the intent of a person, you really get it. You get it intuitively. You get it beyond your instincts. You get it in your soul. Then you could give away the farm, and it is no big deal. Believe me, it is not. But the problem with all of this is that this all requires inner work. You have to practice separating from your emotions, separating from your value system, separating from your opinions, separating from everything that you think makes you you. When you and I are no longer willing to live the you of us, the you that says and dictates, this is how we are because this is the way we are, blah, 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 that genetic thing that we all get involved in, once you start to understand that and you really get involved in that and separating, that's when the awakening starts to happen. You start seeing people in a different light. You will have great patience as you listen to what they say and what they don't say and what they're doing and what they're not doing. And you're involved in the heart of them. Once you understand that, once you understand the heart of people, the authentic heart, then you will be able to see their human heart in comparison and which one they are living from. And frankly speaking, most of the time, people are living from their human heart. They're not listening to their authentic heart. They're listening to a human heart that is linked to DNA and is always afraid of what could happen to them, blah, blah, blah. Now, with those people, you can't even help them across the street. No way. The best thing you can do for those people is just listen, nod your head. They have their own karma. Jesus met hundreds of people in his day, couldn't help all of them. And the ones that were healed got sick again and died. So you have to understand how far your help can go. I say always listen to people. Be looking for that point in them, that very still point where love exists in them. And speak to the love that lives within them, not the love they want, emotionally speaking. If you can do that, you've set a course for yourself that is magnificent. You will never, never be lonely. You will never find fear. You will never be guided by fear. You will be guided by the love that lives inside you. Let love live you, as I say, over and over and over to people. These times of crisis are an invitation to a great love that lives within us, for us to awaken to love. This is not a time to live in the norm. This is a time to live in the compassion and the love that lives within you. And if you can do that, if you can get beyond, oh, the screaming, the yelling, the politicalism, the rampant stupidity of human beings, That's when you've done something amazing. Thank you, Raymond, for your question. Very, very, very beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Harold. I can't be giving nor generous. What is my problem, Harold? Harold, I don't know you, but I can give you a general thing. You're living from your body. You're living from genetics and DNA, ancient, primeval stuff that lives inside you like a Neanderthal. That's why. And that's where prejudice comes from, racial prejudice, all of it. It all comes and is seated in our human body. Our bodies are more than what we think they are. They're not just physical forms. They carry with us in each cell of our body everything we've ever been and everything we've ever experienced in this lifetime and in lifetimes that we have lived many times before. We live in the cycle of birth and death until we spiritually awaken. So the reason you can't be generous is because you're so connected to your physical body. And there is nothing I could say to you here to tell you what to do about that, unless I were to say to you, you got to get into an authentic spiritual practice. You're going to have to meditate. You're going to have to make love first rather than whatever. And never, never, never think that what you emotionally feel as love is true, because it's not. Now, with all that being said, there's not much that can be done for you. You're going to have to live this out over and over and over and over again. The fact that you even gave me this question tells me where you're at. You know, you're looking for maybe some pop cure. Oh, all you have to do is pop in these Pop-Tarts and put them in the oven at 240 degrees, and in 5 seconds you get da-da-da. That's what people want. They want a recipe for their own happiness. The recipe to their own problems. Problems that they have derived out of years and years and lifetime after lifetime of painful stupidity, of living in our human body as the sole cause of our life. I've done it too. So please understand, every one of us has to go through this one way or another. Now you've got to understand how you want to live your life. You have to come to a decision here. Harold, I have known many people, many, many people, who could not be generous. And it just isn't in them, because lifetime after lifetime, they have become calloused to love, forgiveness, compassion. They've become calloused to it. And they just can't help it. This is the way they are. This is how they turned out, and they're not going to change. So if you understand what I've said, you have one of two choices. You either hunker down and continue on the way you are, lifetime after lifetime, until something happens that changes it, or you enter into an authentic spiritual practice and you start meditating, you start cultivating wisdom through compassion, loving care. You start changing your ways here and there beyond your body's instincts and impulses, and bingo, something will change. But the likelihood of all of that in a person who has no sense of who they are, what they are, and the way they are is not very high, I'm just going to tell you. And I've met hundreds and hundreds of them in my lifetime. It takes a person who basically, in my opinion, has had enough crap, enough fear, enough willfulness, and they have seen that life given over to humanity is a futile experience that doesn't bring about anything beautiful, nothing beautiful. Only in love does the human respond, authentic love. I'm out of here. God, I got so much to say to you, Harold. Please forgive me. Namaste. You all stay safe out there, and you're going to have to isolate yourself. Now's the time to get really, really, really comfortable with who you are. Have a beautiful weekend. If you have any questions, greg@aspire.org. That's Greg at Aspire, aspire.org, O-R-G. Email me. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.